Now, Constantine made some extremely important changes in the relationship between the Roman monarchy and the Christian community. And he created, in effect, an imperial church. In 325 AD, he summoned the first ecumenical council at Nicaea, which is a city in western Turkey, an old capital of the kings of Bithynia. And at that council, the emperor wanted a definition of faith, and it was achieved. It's the so-called Nicene Creed. It was to be upheld at three other ecumenical councils, and it comes down to us in its final form, according to the canons of the Council of Chalcedon, the fourth ecumenical council in 451. Constantine himself played an extremely important role in that process. Most of the bishops who attended the council were from the East, the vast majority of them from Asia Minor. And the great debate over the doctrine of the Trinity, which involved whether Christ was a generated creature or was he God, that was conducted in Greek. And this new imperial church was, in its language, was in its orientation, very much a Greek-speaking church, as Christian communities were throughout the Roman East. Constantine also upheld the decisions of the council. Once doctrine had been determined, the reckoning of Easter, the proper prayer, that's what the creed was. It was an invocation of the Christian God. All of that would be enforced by the imperial government. And it is with Constantine that heresy becomes a really definable sin. Prior to Constantine, the best that a bishop could do would be to denounce the heretics, to denounce his opponents, but those churches happily went on their own. And as I mentioned, Asia Minor must have had a mosaic of competing different types of sects or confessions, churches that followed different organizations, different New Testaments. That changes in the course of the 4th and 5th century AD. The Roman imperial government puts its power behind the imperial church and its definition of dogma and creates a very, very close alliance between the emperors and the bishops. Furthermore, the bishops themselves, as figures, as most of us think of bishops, that is the bishop of the Middle Ages, a man seated in his church, a cathedral church in a huge city, who is served by a series of parish priests with a whole organization, that position of authority and patronage was the gift of Constantine. Prior to Constantine, when I mentioned bishops, that's very deceptive. These earliest bishops I spoke of in previous lectures were closer to parish priests. They had small communities they administered to. They were living in a face-to-face society. With Constantine, bishops begin to assume the trappings and position that are associated with the medieval world. And bishops take an extremely important role in rewriting that sacred landscape of Asia Minor. With the backing of the imperial government, and with all that money, and also with the changed situation that many of the pagan aristocrats are either in doubt about, you know, is Christianity acceptable or not, or have suffered from the problems of inflation and civil war in the 3rd century, so they're not in a position to compete at the same level as in some cities with bishops, these bishops, in effect, take on those pagan elites and slowly, over the course of the 4th, 5th, and 6th century, displace them, or in many cases, absorb that pagan elite into their ranks as the patrons of cities. And the process is extremely well illuminated by archaeology in the cities of Asia Minor. In some instances, bishops are accused of becoming lithomaniacs, which is just a fancy word for building too much. Christian moralists are always saying, oh, bishops are spending too much time with buildings. One of the best ones we have is a man called Marcus Julius Eugenius, who was a bishop of Laodicea Combusta, a small town in Asia Minor. And he spent 30 years putting up buildings. He set up a whole inscription. And one virtue that you cannot accuse Julius Eugenius of having was humility. I mean, it sounds like an inscription from his pagan ancestors. Look what wonderful things I did for the Christian community rather than the city. And the old images of Philotimia and Philopatris were right there, now in the service of the new faith. So you have a large number of bishops who follow along traditional lines of patronage in the 4th and 5th centuries, bringing credit to themselves and to their families. You should also recall that in the Orthodox tradition today, and also in the Roman Empire, bishops did marry and have families. Only the monastic clergy, the ascetic clergy, took strict vows of chastity. So many of these bishops had positions of authority that they would transmit to their family. And so putting up buildings was an important feature of that. Festivals, another important way of showing one's civic loyalty. Festivals are increasingly reinvented in a Christian guise.